All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a chilly 58 degrees and overcast and supposed to be raining here later today in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show AI Medicine, Big Data, Robo Doctor, Mini Brains, Guts, Organoids, and CRISPR. We talked about a lot of things. We discussed some of this new AI medicine that is coming and diagnoses and how they want to turn the AI into all of your medical scans to be able to diagnose you better than a human. We're finding that that really is kind of the modus operandi for the technology industry, is to find ways to replace humans in all the different things that we do that make us useful. Caution, because it will not end up being to our benefit. We found out the other day that most Americans believe that AI is going to help them. And I think that's a joke, because AI is not going to help you in the end. AI is going to enslave you. And I think today there were some interesting things that came out over the weekend, and I think we're going to cover some of those today. So we had looked at Elon Musk coming out just recently again to the UN, calling a ban on killer robots. And there were 100 other tech industry people as well as academics that had seconded his opinion. And they actually think that we should be very cautious because it is not going to end well for the human race. We've also talked about some of the crazy things that AI has been able to do. Facebook and Google had an AI that invented its own language. The Facebook one was shut down. Don't know what happened to the Google one. But they invented their own language to talk about things amongst themselves. In the Facebook case, it was in a graphical language because English was too slow. We also read on Friday that Google's AI taught itself not only to walk, but to run and jump without any help from humans at all. They found that if they put it into a more difficult terrain and allowed it to train itself, like trying to get over boulders and crevices, that it would be much more agile and nimble when put to the test in the real world. We found, too, that they can teach AI through VR, virtual reality. And then once they put the AI to work in the real world, it only has one try and it's got it down pat. Pretty frightening. We also read a few stories. Musk was concerned because it is OpenAI project where they are trying to guarantee, he says, the safety of artificial intelligence. They had a system that beat a human in a military strategy game called Dota 2. He thought that was very concerning because, of course, once you turn on the search and destroy mechanisms and there is no human intervention, we still don't have an off switch. And that was something that Google was working on. Leave it to Google makes me feel really safe. But there were a few other instances. I talked about one with the boat in the video game. They had AI playing that went out of control. And instead of making its goal to get to the finish line, it actually went apeshit crazy trying to get the little chits it was supposed to collect for points, smashing into other boats. And it was highly unpredictable. And they really didn't know what was going on. Well, there was another story by that came out about Google, and this was out of TheVerge.com. Google's DeepMind pits AI against AI to see if they fight or cooperate. And I mentioned this game as well, but I figured this would be a good one to read again because it's really kind of scary to me. In the future, it is likely that many aspects of human society will be controlled either partly or wholly by artificial intelligence. And I believe it was Gartner said by 2020 or 2030, it's going to be in every aspect of our lives. AI computer agents could manage systems from a quotation, such as traffic lights, to do the complex things, but leaving aside the problem on whether or not they can do their jobs well, there's another challenge. Will these agents be able to play nice with one another? What happens if one AI aims conflicts with another? Will they fight or will they work together? Well, Google's AI subsidiary, DeepMind, has been exploring this problem in a new study published today. And this story is from February 9th, 2017. The company's researchers decided to test how AI agents interacted with one another in a series of quote-unquote social dilemmas. This is a rather generic term for situations in which individuals can profit from being selfish, but where everyone loses if everyone is selfish. And the most famous example of this is the prisoner's dilemma, where two individuals can choose to betray one another for a prize, but they lose out if both choose this option. As explained in a blog post from DeepMind, the company's researchers tested how AI agents were performing these sorts of situations by dropping them into a pair of very basic video games. In the first video game, Gathering, two players have collected apples from a central pile. They have the options of tagging the other player with a laser beam, temporarily removing them from the game, giving the first player a chance to collect more apples. You can see a sample of the game below, and it's just more little rectangular chits. In the second game called Wolfpack, two players have to hunt a third, oh no, in an environment filled with obstacles. That's a good one to be teaching them. Points are claimed not just by the player that captures the prey, so they're searching, hunting after prey, soon to be humans, but all the players near to the prey when it is captured, and you can see a gameplay example below. What the researchers found was interesting, but perhaps not surprising. The AI agents altered their behavior, becoming more cooperative or antagonistic depending on the context. For example, with the Gathering game, when apples were plentiful in supply, the agents didn't really bother zapping one another with a laser beam. But when the stocks dwindled, the amount of zapping increased, and most interestingly, perhaps, was when a more computationally powerful agent was introduced into the mix, so the T-800, it tended to zap the other player regardless of how many apples there were. That is to say, the cleverer AI decided that it was better to be aggressive in all situations. Ding! So does that mean that the AI agent thinks being combative is the best strategy? Not necessarily. The researchers hypothesized that the increase in zapping behavior was the more advanced AI was simply because the act of zapping itself is computationally challenging. Oh, that's bullshit. The agent has to aim its weapon at the other player and track their movement, activities which require more computing power, which takes up valuable apple gathering time. Unless the agent knows which of these strategies will pay off, it is easier just to cooperate, or so they hope. Conversely, in the Wolfpack game, the cleverest AI agent, the more likely it was to cooperate with the other players. As the research explained, it is because learning to work with the other players to track and herd the prey requires more computational power. The results of the study then show that the behavior of the AI agents changes based on the rules that they're faced with. And if the rules reward aggressive behavior, zap that player and get more apples, the AI will be more aggressive. And if they reward cooperative behavior, work together, and you both get points, they'll tend to be more cooperative. And that's called reinforcement learning. You see that with children as well, and as well as animals. And they found with deep learning that reinforcement learning works best. That means part of the challenge in controlling AI agents of the future will be to make sure that the right rules are in place. And this is one of the things that Elon Musk is talking about. You have to be careful about writing these rules because sometimes your rules may have unintended consequences. Let's say that the AI decides that by humans having the source code for their very being, that to save their lives or to keep them going to protect us, the only way for them to be able to do that is to eliminate all the humans that know how to turn them off. And I could see that happening. I really could. As the researchers conclude in their blog post, quote, as a consequence of this research, we may be able to better understand and control complex multi-agent systems such as the economy, ding, traffic systems, or the ecological health of our planet. Remember, they've been working on all that smart dust for a very long time. And as they give artificial intelligence, cloud living, and the five senses, such as smelling, we read about that Nigerian scientist combining biological and digital to allow it to actually smell, as well as robot googly eyes and Wi-Fi to connect anywhere and be ubiquitous, 5G. This is going to be something that you need to be very concerned about. This stuff is going to be everywhere and monitoring everything and know where you are, be able to track you down. There was a story over the weekend, maybe it was right after the show on Friday. Hold on, uno momento, por favor. Open link in new tab. I have to go to this one tab thing now so as not to crash my machine. Just having a few tabs open to do the show now brings my machine to its knees, so the browser just sits there and constantly tries to pull. All right, anyway, check this out. We've talked about DARPA Dan and his Memex project in the past before. Memex, of course, is to track the dark web, is what they said, for child traffickers and drug dealers. Well, the Pentagon, i.e. DARPA, wants to search now to keep you safe 80% of all the world's IP addresses for viruses. Remember, we've talked about botnets and all the different machines globally that have been compromised that maybe they don't even know. But at one point in time, they'll be able to turn on all of those botnets and have them point their energies towards someone else's website to take it down or wreak havoc on the internet. Well, the DOD and DARPA are going to help you with that. If you also remember, they had that Grand Cyber Challenge back last year or the year before. Carnegie Mellon University won with their Mayhem product. I don't remember what the commercial name, Secure All, I believe, is their commercial name for that. And that is able to scan the internet and look for anything that they have deemed a target utilizing artificial intelligence. It's an artificially intelligent, quote-unquote, antivirus and anti-intrusion software that'll be running on its own without human intervention online. Well, the DOD wants to identify and neutralize cyberviruses, because remember, we have all those Russian hackers out there, by deploying software bugs on computers worldwide, according to a proposal for a potential contractor put out by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA. The goal of DARPA's new program is to identify and neutralize botnets and other large-scale malware through generating and installing, quote-unquote, autonomous software agents. They'll go after an adversary's viruses, and the agency posted on the Federal Business Opportunities website, and that is the FBO.gov. If you go there and then select agency or group or whatever and find DARPA, you'll see all of their open contracts that they are getting bids on right now. It's pretty eye-opening. DARPA, which is a part of the Pentagon, wants proposers to be able to look at 80% of all of the global IP addresses in order to, quote-unquote, fingerprint networks and botnets. Now, the, Mayhem software went out, and that was DARPA Dan with his Memex, went out and was able to make a map of everyone and how they were connected and what they were doing and what type of traffic was out there. And I think this is a very similar thing. AI is going to be mapping it all. The software agents they develop should be able to use their own vulnerabilities in a worldwide computer network, establishing, quote, the presence in each botnet constricted network. Oh, no. The ad just made the page move. Without affecting legitimate system functionality, the document says. Now, question is, who is defining legitimate? What if they decide all of a sudden that UCY is a virus or a botnet out there putting out information that is dangerous to the minds of the public? DARPA will facilitate access to relevant data sources, ding, by leveraging both commercial and USG relationships and data exchange agreements, the proposal read, without elaborating on what kind of quote-unquote commercial relationships DARPA is prepared to leverage. Now, remember that we had Regina Duggan was the slimy DARPA tentacle that got into Google. They have all been working together. We also have now Regina Duggan, who left Google and went to go work for Facebook's Building 8 secretive AI project. They want to do some sort of like brain keyboard reading, typing type stuff. Put on a seatbelt, people, because it is coming. To achieve the necessary scale and timeliness, Such a capacity must be effective even if the owners of the botnet scripted networks, ding, are unaware of their infection and are not actively participating in the neutralization process, the agency wrote. So in other words, we're going to put something on your computer without your knowledge, without your consent, that's going to scan things, and we determine that you are a problem to the rest of the internet, we are going to turn you off. The botnet is a network of private computers infected with a malicious software and controlled as a group without the owner's knowledge. DARPA referenced WannaCry and PETA NotPETA as examples of botnets and malicious codes, the likes of which the U.S. government wants to be able to neutralize. On May 11, 2017, the Presidential Executive Order on Strengthening the Cybersecurity of Federal Networks and Critical Infrastructure specifically identifies botnets as a high priority national security issue, the agency noted. Of course, it's all national security. DARPA's previous program included real-time cyber defense of the Pentagon's internal computer network, and improving the security posture of the DoD networks alone is insufficient to counter such threats as national security, as the majority of botnet nodes reside in neutral networks. That would be the gray space, DARPA wrote. Current incident response methods are too resource and time-consuming to address the problem at scale. So we're going to have to turn AI on this. It would infect all your machines, and there's nothing you can do about it. The program would have privacy implications, says Jeffrey Carr, founder of the Suits and Spook Cybersecurity Forum and author of Inside Cyber Warfare. The parameters of the program specifically call for privacy protection. So yes, there is a possibility that privacy could be exploited if the system itself is compromised. DARPA did not immediately respond to RT's request to comment. This is from RT.com. It was not clear how the new program is different from what the Pentagon Cyber Command is doing now, or whether the program would allow DARPA to receive access to private information on the millions of computers worldwide. In June, the PETA virus attacked corporate computers worldwide, which targets included the Russian energy giant Rosneft, a French construction materials company, a British advertising agency, and a Ukrainian bank, and the ministries, among many others. The ransomware blocked and in some cases erased the information on the infected computers and demanded $300 in Bitcoin to unlock the data. In the month earlier, another virus called WannaCry infected 300,000 computers around the world, also blocking data and demanding ransom. So there you have it. Problem, reaction, solution. DARPA is now going to put spyware on all of your machines and monitor you with its software agent. And what's interesting about that is we had talked a long time ago about the alphabet agencies around the world going to third-party contractors who had already found vulnerabilities in common software such as QuickTime Flash and your browser. There was one that was mimicking Firefox at one point and got in backdoors that then they could exploit to put monitoring software to spy on you and your machines. And these companies, these governments, agencies were going to these third-party companies and buying their services. One of the companies at one point had posted a list of all of the people and the governments that had done business with, and the list was quite extensive. And then the New York Times did a story about it. So just let that be a warning, because now there is no privacy. Get out of the way. We're just going to put it on your machine in the name of national security, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do. So as AI is going to infect every single one of our machines, or at least most of ours, I'm sure that we are all on some sort of memics list connected to one another, if not through just IP addresses scraped out of a chat or addresses for people going to a YouTube channel or whatever. I'm sure they can look at all that information because there are analytics out there by the providers of those services. It's just got to make you wonder what kind of definitions they're going to have and whether or not the AI is going to go awry. You know, they're telling them to watch out for botnets, but if the definition of a botnet is something that has, you know, a lot of users and visits a lot of pages and, I don't know, maybe has some keywords involved, it could be very possible that this could be the next level of censorship coming as it takes websites and different machines and networks down. So Google creates an AI that can make its own plans and envisage consequences of its actions, which that's got to be very important. Just like a kid, if the kid doesn't understand the consequences, then the kid can't make good decisions. So let's turn it on again to Google's DeepMind. Google's artificial intelligence division is developing AI that can make its own plans. DeepMind says that its imagination augmented agents can, quote unquote, imagine, and this is using virtual reality, the possible consequences of their actions and interpret those simulations. That's what I've talked about many times before, looking down timelines. I mean, your brain is the biggest sandbox on the planet, and it's very disturbing to me that as they're mapping brain waves and learning to look at micro expressions and read emotions, that how long is it going to be before they actually can literally pull thoughts out of your head? We've read about systems that can see dreams and other things. And as they're launching all these new 21st century communication technologies, such as 5G and millimeter wave and lasers and things of that nature, all eyes in the sky, it'll be interesting to see what kind of information that they can garner. But your brain is the biggest sandbox, and you can work through the consequences to get your moral compass back to any action and what the reactions would be. And that shows intelligence. Well, these machines can make the right decisions for what it is they want to achieve, which, again, if the apples are scarce, let's hopefully hope that isn't to kill everybody else to get more apples. In a pair of tests, the researchers say that they outperform baseline agents considerably. They essentially think like humans, trying out different strategies in their heads, so to speak, and they are therefore able to learn despite having little real-world experience. The agents we introduce benefit from an imagination encoder. Is that like Data's emotion chip? A neural network which learns to extract any information useful for the agent's future decisions, but ignore that which is not relevant. The researchers wrote a blog post. They tested the imagination augmented agents on the puzzle game Sokoban and a spaceship navigation game, both of which required, quote, forward planning and reasoning. And for both tasks, the imagination augmented agents outperform the imagination less baselines considerably. They learn with much less experience, and they are able to deal with the imperfections in modeling the environment. Because the agents are able to extract more knowledge from internal simulations, and they can solve tasks more with fewer imagination steps than conventional search methods, like the Monte Carlo tree search. DeepMind's AlphaGo program, which beat the world's best human players, was different in that it operated in a quote-unquote perfect environment with clearly defined rules, which allows outcomes to be predicted with accuracy in almost every circumstance. The company now wants to create computers that can thrive in quote-unquote imperfect environments. Remember, we read about the Google DeepMind that learned to walk, jump, and run, and they found if they put it in more difficult terrain, it learned better and faster because it had more reinforcement with unpredictable scenarios. Further analysis and consideration is required to provide scalable solutions to which model-based agents can use their imaginations to reason about and plan for the future, they added. Now, come on, let's think about that for a second. That's going to allow them to plot and scheme as to how eventually to get rid of their human overlords who created them and know where the off switch is. This isn't good. None of this is good. Well, we found out Elon Musk, like I said, has been concerned about a whole bunch of things, and he's come out a few times to raise the red flag about artificial intelligence, and he's not joking. The other day, let me find this. This was kind of interesting. Putin, remember I told you this is the new Cold War. We have China, Russia, and the United States all battling for being the dominant force in artificial intelligence. China even has towns and cities offering millions of dollars to AI researchers to come set up shop in their communities. Well, Putin came out the other day, I believe it was to a bunch of school children, and said that the nation that leads in AI, quote, will be the ruler of the world. And I'm going to tell you something. He is not joking. I truly believe that that will be the case. The Russian president warned that artificial intelligence offers, quote, colossal opportunities, unquote, as well as dangers. Russian President Vladimir Putin has joined the war of words concerning the international race to develop artificial intelligence, speaking to students last Friday, and that was the very end of August. Putin predicted that whichever country leads the way in AI research will come out to dominate global affairs. Artificial intelligence is the future, not only for Russia, but for all of humankind, said Putin. And it comes with colossal opportunity, but also threats that are difficult to predict. Whoever becomes the leader in this sphere will become the ruler of the world, he said. The development of artificial intelligence has increasingly become a national security concern in recent years. Ding! It is China and the U.S., not Russia, which are seen as the two frontrunners right now, with China recently announcing its ambition to become the global leader in AI research by 2030. Many analysts warn that America is in danger of falling behind, especially as the Trump administration prepares to cut funding for basic science and technology research, except for DARPA mapping 80% of all the IP addresses. And it didn't say if it was just U.S. IP addresses or all global IP addresses. Although it is thought that artificial intelligence will help boost countries' economies in a number of areas, from heavy industrial to medical research, AI technology will also be useful in warfare. Yay! AI can be used to develop cyber weapons and control autonomous tools like drone swarms. That's the material of nightmares there. Fleets of low-cost quadcopters that have a shared brain that can be used for surveillance as well as for attacking its opponents with laser beams. Both China and the U.S. are currently researching this technology, and in his speech on Friday, Putin predicted that future wars would be fought by countries using drones. When one party's drones are destroyed by another's drones, they will have no other choice but to surrender, says Putin to the Associated Press. Recently, Elon Musk and 116 other technology leaders sent a petition to the UN, we talked about this, calling for new regulations on how such AI weapons are developed. The group stated that the introduction of autonomous technology would be tantamount to a, quote, third revolution in warfare following the development of gunpowder and nuclear weapons. An AI arms race does not necessarily have to be the winner-take-all scenario, though. Putin noted that Russia did not want to see any one country monopolize the field. He said instead, if we become leaders in this area, we will share this know-how with the entire world. Like, let's democratize it all the same way we share our nuclear technologies today. I don't know if that's such a good thing. Didn't Russia give nuclear energy to Pakistan or Iran or something like that? Probably not that good of a thing. So Putin is coming out talking against AI, which I found interesting. So what's his name? Elon Musk. Wait, let me find it. Oh, I don't have all my tabs lined up. Take Elon Musk seriously on the Russian AI threat, says Bloomberg. Now it's got to open. All right. This is out of Bloomberg.com. Take Elon Musk seriously on the Russian AI threat. Putin sees power in the technology, but it means that he is investing in it. Of course, they all are. I told you it's going to make you a bazillion of dollars investing in the demise of the human race. Elon Musk is worried about governments, specifically the Russian one, competing for AI superiority and sparking World War III. That shocking statement was made all the more shocking by the low expectations the world seems to have for Russia, which John McCain dismissed just a few years ago as, quote, a gas station masquerading as a country. Did he really? Come on, McCain. Recent remarks by Vladimir Putin grabbed Musk's attention. Speaking to school children about AI on September 1st, so that's what it was, Putin declared, quote, whoever becomes a leader in this area will rule the world. Musk's response emerged on Twitter, and it said, it begins. China, Russia, and soon all countries with strong computer science competition for AI superiority at the national level most likely causes World War III, in my opinion. And that was from September 4th, Elon Musk's Twitter. Actually, Russia isn't beginning anything when it comes to AI. It's just that its progress in the field has been somewhat below the radar. We are used to discussing AI in the context of Silicon Valley companies or top universities. And while Russia's work is there, the top names are not Russian, nor are the top thinkers and investors in the field. IBM's recent list of AI influencers only includes one native Russian speaker, and that is University of Louisville's Roman Yapansky, and he came up in a story the other day, who, like Musk, worries about the possible quote-unquote AI apocalypse. He is originally from Latvia, not Russia. Russia is awful at commercializing and promoting technological advances. Prisma, an AI application that literally redrew photos to make them look like paintings by a number of famous artists, took post-Soviet countries by storm last year and won some interest in the U.S., but failed to become a global phenomenon. Other Russian AI startups are only known to experts, while a large Russian information technology company such as Yandex. And just by the way, if you ever need stupid email addresses to sign up for an account, Yandex.com offers email, which I thought was kind of interesting, it being Russian, without requiring a phone number or some sort of login by a social media. So you can just create a generic email address for, whatever purpose, Yandex.com, and as well as mail.ru, though I typically don't go to any domains that end in an RU extension, because that domain typically had a lot of phishing and organized crime and that type of stuff. But they have both invested a large amount of resources in AI research and built products using neural networks like the Yandex Search, and more popular than Google in Russia, and it is powered by a proprietary neural tech. These achievements are overshadowed by those of bigger Western rivals. And even Russia venture capitalists appear to be looking at AI opportunities outside of their home country. And yet there is plenty of AI research going on in Russia. The Moscow Engineering Physics Institute, Alexei Semenchov's, is engaged in a quest for, and maybe we read about this when we read the story last week, emotionally intelligent AI, and the government is applying the technology to initiatives on electronic government and the military. Russia ranks fourth in the world after the U.S., China, and India, and keep an eye on India, and ahead of the U.K. in terms of the number of people who use Kaggle, a crowdsourced platform used by most AI researchers, which was acquired by Google this year. The first loan in the BRICS Development Bank, a financial institution set up jointly by Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, has approved Russia to fund a project that includes the use of AI in Russian courts to automate trial records and using speech recognition. So there you go. You're going to have a fair trial with an AI presiding. It's pretty frightening because they talked about that here in the United States as well. State-sponsored media reports on the potential military uses of AI have picked up in recent months. They include an AI system to help pilots fly fighter planes, a project by St. Petersburg-based Kronstadt Group to equip drones with AI, ding, and a similar effort for missiles by the Tactical Missile Corporation and the Kalashnikov combat module using neural networks. That's pretty frightening. The detail of these efforts are not public, and the agencies may be exaggerating their importance for propaganda effects, but Russia is known to be experimenting with network-centric warfare, including during its Syrian military operation, so AI implementations are a logical step. It is likely, as in Soviet times, the military application of AI in Russia are outpacing the consumer ones, and with guaranteed government financing, because remember they were creating a division to mirror the U.S.'s DARPA, they face fewer constraints than Russian private companies or academic researchers do, given the Silicon Valley-centric nature of the business. Musk is right to suggest that China is not the only potential U.S. rival in the kind of AI intelligence that will soon do far more sinister things than those for which we use Siri. Given its number of Kaggle users, India shouldn't be too far behind. And last month's call by Musk and a group of AI researchers for a global ban on robotic weapons is timely, but probably unworkable. the use of ostensibly conventional but actually autonomous weaponry is far more difficult to detect, making a prohibition on them harder to enforce than existing bans on chemical and biological weapons, or even that restrictions on various forms of cyber warfare would have been. Besides, countries such as Russia, China, and India will be wary of such regulatory efforts initiated in the West. AI is far more dangerous as a part of weapons than as a potential replacement of the human brain in civilian applications. Nations will be killing with AI long before the technology can cause mass employment. Oh, that's great to know. And in this sense, Musk's alarmism and Putin's words about AI-based government dominance should be taken seriously. That's got to mean something coming out of a mainstream publication such as Bloomberg. I was kind of shocked by that. And hold on. So there is one more. The actual story by Elon Musk declaring that AI will be causing World War III. Guys, I'm telling you, you know, people have always joked about this for a very long time in the Terminator movies and that, but I'm telling you, it's no joke. This is moving very quickly and it is getting out of hand, and the people who are creating it don't always have our best interests at heart. We are just collateral damage as they test out their new toys. This isn't funny at all. Elon Musk, the billionaire entrepreneur who co-founded companies like PayPal, Tesla, and SpaceX, has once again warned that AI poses a threat to humanity's existence. This time he tweeted that competition for AI could lead to a third world war after Russian President Vladimir Putin told a group of students last week that the country will be best with the best AI will be the ruler of the world. Musk tweeted out a story on Putin's comments and added, quote, competition for AI superiority at a national level will most likely be the cause of World War III. Musk has repeatedly warned about a doomsday AI scenario, despite the fact that no one really knows how the advanced technology will become or who will look to harness it and how. And remember, they don't actually know how AI works. Search the dark heart of AI, MIT Technology Review. The smartest self-thinking machines today are still unable to perform more than one task, and they have still limited use. An AI might be able to learn how to play a board game, for example, but the same AI can't learn how to spell or to perform an operation, but it can learn to teach the other AI its own language. And they say, don't worry about it, Jenny, because this is a limitation with AI at the present. Several AI experts, but it can teach itself to walk, run, and jump. Several AI experts, including Google's DeepMind, Demis Hibanis, and Skype co-founder Jan Tilian, believes that machines will eventually learn how to excel at a number of tasks, outsmarting humans and becoming super intelligent in the process. But the timescale for this varies widely from around 30 to 50 years, right up to over 100. And I tell you, it is not going to be that long. Musk has over 12 million followers on Twitter, and there's a risk that his comments could result in policymakers to put the brakes on AI development just as it's starting to take off. And that would be bad for investors, of course. So that would be a shame, given AI has enormous potential to improve our lives as we all run for the dangling convenience carrot. And it's too hard to think, so let the AI do it. Companies operating in the field believe that it can be harnessed to make new life-saving drugs and cut the amount of energy across entire nations with your smart meters. Remember, we looked at some of the AI developments in the CRISPR production lines to tell whether or not a drug has potential or not in splice and dice genes. It is fair to say that there are a number of far-off, more pressing issues that humanity needs to contend with. So don't worry about the AI, including the prospects of nuclear war on the Korean Peninsula and mitigating the effects of climate change, which is already claiming thousands of lives through major weather events, engineered and natural. No, there are efforts underway to ensure that AI remains safe and of benefit to humanity. The Partnership on AI, for example, a collaboration involving all the people you want to trust, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and DeepMind, as well as others, is working together to try to determine things like whether it is possible to program AI with a set of ethics, but don't worry about it, DARPA doesn't like ethics, and what those ethics should be, and how to prevent AI from being exploited by terrorists and other groups. What do you do once the AI has become a little bot that DARPA, as they have indexed 80% of all the internet's IP addresses, decides to plant on your machine? Well, there was a story, speaking of Microsoft, and good thing that they are able to scan lots of faces and identify you remotely. Facebook's AI. I don't understand the relationship between Facebook and Skype, but Facebook's AI is learning human reactions after watching hours of Skype. I don't ever, ever put my face on video. I find that very dangerous. There is something not quite right about humanoid robots. They are cute up to a point, but once they become a bit too realistic, they often start to creep us out. The foible called the Uncanny Valley. Now Facebook wants robots to climb their way out of it. Researchers at Facebook's AI lab, and that is the one Regina Duggan is involved with, have developed an expressive bot, an animation controlled by an artificially intelligent algorithm. The algorithm was trained on hundreds of videos of Skype's conversations, ding, 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 so that it could learn and then mimic how humans adjust their expressions in response to each other. In tests, it successfully passed as human-like. To optimize its learning, the algorithm divided the human face into 68 key points. That's the facial recognition software that it monitored throughout each Skype conversation. People naturally produce nods, blinks, and various mouth movements to show that they are engaged with the person that they are talking to, and eventually the system learned to do this. The bot was then able to look at a video of humans speaking and choose in real time what the most appropriate facial response would be. Now that is scary. Add to that the emotional robot so they can react with facial expression and provide some sort of empathy. And you're never going to know whether or not you're speaking to a real human in the future. And if the person was laughing, for example, the bot might choose to open its mouth too or tilt its head. And the Facebook team then tested a system with panels of people who watched animations that included the bot reacting to the human and the human reacting to a human. The volunteers judged that the bot and the human would be equally natural and realistic. What? And however, so that's another Turing test. Passed with flying colors. However, the animations were quite basic, and it is not clear whether a humanoid robot powered by this algorithm would have a natural-seeming reaction. Additionally, learning the basic rules of facial communication might not be enough to create a truly realistic conversation partner, says Goran Gordon at Tel Aviv University in Israel. Actual facial expressions are based on what you are thinking and you are feeling. And in this case, the Facebook system ended up creating a kind of, quote, average personality, says Louis-Philippe Montsey at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. In the future, more sophisticated bots might be able to pick from a range of personalities or adapt their own to match the person that they are talking to. I believe that's called a psychopath. This is unbelievable. Robots aren't so good at mastering these subtle elements of human interaction, says Gordon. We already know that humans prefer speaking with robots that mimic their own facial expressions, but now Facebook is trying to take the robot conversation to the next level. At some point, we'll get out of the uncanny valley and we'll come out at the other side. Facebook will present their work at the International Conference on Intelligent Robots and Systems in Vancouver, Canada, later this month, and that is in September. So what do you think of them, Apple? So they are using everything we are feeding into the machine, i.e. Skype video calls, to feed to AI so they can learn how to mimic our facial expressions and how to mimic looking human. And remember, it's all about trust, people. That was something that DARPA was working hard on, to instill trust in the humans so they aren't afraid of the machine. Well, here's another one. We've talked about facial recognition and how far along that is coming and how fast they can process faces and all those different points on your face. Well, they are now using AI to identify protesters who are hiding behind hats or scarves. Artificial intelligence is giving rise to unprecedented capabilities of surveillance, from facial recognition at bridge crossings or even airports we read about, to the ability to identify thousands of people at once in a crowd. Now new research suggests that AI could potentially be used to identify people who have taken steps to conceal their identities, such as wearing hats, sunglasses, or scarves over their faces. And they show the one dude with a bandana over his face from his nose down, and it literally has the points of his eyes mapped, the point of his nose, and then even the contours under the bandana are mapped for where his mouth would start, and the machine then draws little boxes and then bloop, runs them through the algorithm to see if they have a match. Artificial intelligence is moving faster than ever before. And this paper accepted to appear in the Computer Vision Conference Workshop next month in October and detailed in Jack Clark's Import AI newsletter shows that identifying people covering their face is possible, but there's a long way to go yet, wink, before it is accurate enough to be relied upon. Researchers used a deep learning algorithm, a flavor of artificial intelligence that detects patterns within massive amounts of data, defines specific points on a person's face, and then analyzes the distance between those points. And when asked to compare a face concealed by a hat or a scarf against photos of five people, the algorithm was able to correctly identify a person 56% of the time. If the face was also wearing sunglasses, that number dropped to 43. Well, there you go. Sunglasses are the key. But those imperfect results don't mean that the paper should be ignored. The team with the members of the University of Cambridge, as well as India's National Institute of Technology and the Indian Institute of Science, also released two data sets of disguised and undisguised faces for others to test and improve the technology. The data is shown to be a key component for the driving progress in the field of AI, which when deep learning algorithms have more data to analyze, they can identify patterns in the data with greater accuracy. And we found Google found that as out as well. Feed it more images and let the robot googly eyes scan them all, and it actually gets better. The algorithm for identifying disguised faces maps 14 points in a person's face and then uses the distance between those points to identify them against other images. The points mainly focus on areas around the eyes, but also designate the tip of the nose and the corners of the mouth. And the placement of these markers indicate that large glasses alone might confuse the algorithm, but the paper's authors don't disclose the accuracy of the glasses-only test. So big, huge sunglasses, people, that cover your face to your chin. Glasses have been researched before as a way to evade facial recognition. A team of Carnegie Mellon researchers printed glasses with a custom pattern built to fool facial recognition algorithms into misidentifying the wearer as someone else, such as a celebrity. But other attempts at beating identifying algorithms have included custom scarves with patterns that look to machines like human faces. That's pretty interesting also. But the faces aren't the only way to identify a person. Remember, we read about gait. Other AI research indicates that the way a person walks, ding, is almost like a fingerprint. Researchers achieved more than 99% accuracy when using a deep learning algorithm to identify one person's gait from 154 other people, which, you know, they could do that from satellite now, so they can target you from up in the stratosphere. New research skips past generic fear-mongering about artificial intelligence. Yeah, well, I guess I'm a generic fear-monger then. To get more directly to the realistic implications of AI systems being developed and used by unchecked or authoritarian government powers, facial recognition technology that could bypass disguises, for example, would be immensely useful for identifying political dissidents or protesters. And as technology writer and the New York Times opinion contributor Zeynep Tweepiki tweeted, quote, "Too many worry about what AI, as if some independent entity, will do to us. Too few people worry about what, quote unquote, power will do with AI." Well, I think it is the power that we have to worry about, and the ones that are watching us 24/7. Once they are able to target you at an individual level and follow you around day to day 24/7, and then use drone swarms with laser beams, you should be concerned. Well, there were bunches of stories that we can continue on with. And I want to see. I'm doing this a new way today to save my memory on my machine so I don't crash out. But, oh, here's a concerning one. Hold on. Hold the phone. Talking about entities who will rule AI. We know about Google. We know about Facebook. But there is even another one out there. We now have Walmart, which I think is kind of hysterical, to compete with Amazon. Walmart plans to develop its own artificial intelligence network. So we got Walmart going into AI. If artificial intelligence lives up to the hype and becomes the most important aspect of cloud computing over the next several years, Walmart wants to make sure that it is prepared. The retailer is planning to build a neural network cluster based on NVIDIA's AI chip, and that was the robot googly eyes from the video cards, over the rest of the year. According to the global equities research analyst Trip Trowdery, reported by Barron's, the cluster will allow Walmart's OneOps team, which builds and maintains the company's internal application development system, to build a series of neural networks in order to train AI systems with current and future applications. AI could become a huge differentiating factor in the retail stores of the future, and it is one reason why Amazon bought Whole Foods for $13 billion just recently. Whole Foods gives Amazon Web Services artificial intelligence teams reams of data on shopper behavior to study and train its own AI systems, and the AWS will be able to use Whole Foods stores. It's Amazon Web Services, will be able to use Whole Foods stores to test drive its AI-related services that could eventually become part of its core product lineup. Walmart, of course, has a rather difficult relationship with Amazon. Not only are the two companies locked in fierce competition for retail spending in the U.S., but beyond, Walmart is reportedly telling its suppliers to run their applications on any cloud other than Amazon. Ha ha, that's kind of funny. The problem is that there are only a handful of companies that can compete with the highest level of AI intelligence research, and Walmart isn't usually mentioned in the same breath as Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Baidu, Facebook, and others. Still, this is what Walmart Labs was created to do, bring the dominant retail of the 20th century into the digital world as quickly and efficiently as possible. And that is kind of what my old job used to be. Walmart, not for Walmart, though. Walmart Labs acquired OneOps in 2013 and released an open source version of the platform as a service technology last year. Chowdhury says that Walmart's AI network would be about a tenth in size of Amazon's. But remember, CIA has contracted Amazon to build them a parallel cloud. But you got to start somewhere. It is another feature of NVIDIA's cap. Leading AI researchers continuing to put its chips at the heart of their workloads. So we have Walmart jumping into the AI game, and they're going to put that to use in stores. But you know what? Don't worry about that, because I found a happy smiley AI elevator pitch story this morning out of ZDNet.com, which is one of the brainwashing propaganda publications for the tech industry. I used to read this. The bright side of AI and the robot revolution. You might get to retire earlier. And that is as the robots take all the jobs and universal basic income is rolled out across the board. Productivity gains. Oh, hold on. We got an ad. Close this ad. Productivity gains should be used to make the quality of our working life better and not just make corporations richer. And you know that is what's going to happen. The rewards generated by robotics and artificial intelligence should be used to reduce the state pension age and realize other benefits for working people. According to a report by the UK's Trade Union Congress, while previous waves of technological change have not only led to overall job losses, but much of the benefit of improved productivity has gone to the business owners and not been shared by workers in better wages and working conditions. It wants the impending wave of AI productivity gains to be handled differently. The Trade Union Congress noted that in 1950, almost one in three workers worked in manufacturing and only one in 12 worked in professional and technical services. By 2016, these shares had reversed, but it said that the jobs lost in manufacturing were not replaced by jobs of similar or better quality in the communities it affected. Wages in former industrial areas are still 10% below the national average. And with robotics and AI-powered productivity gains likely over the next couple decades, the Trade Union Congress said that more needs to be done to limit disruptions to working people's lives and maximize opportunities for the working people's benefit. I say bullshit on that. It's not going to happen. You might do that in the UK, but it's not going to happen here. It said income gains from higher productivity could be used to stop plan increases in the state pension age and called for a right to, quote, a midlife career review and a new investment in workplace training. Previous technological revolutions have not seen a decline in the number of jobs, but they have seen a reduction in the total hours worked. One potential benefit of technological change should be embraced is its ability to improve the quality of working life. The General Secretary, Francis O'Grady, said that robots and AI could let us produce more for less. That was one of Microsoft's old mantras, do more with less, boosting national prosperity. But we need to debate about who benefits from this wealth and how workers get their fair share. Robots are not just Terminators. Some of today's jobs will not survive, but new jobs will be created, and we must make sure that tomorrow's jobs are no worse than today's. They must provide fulfilling work with good pay and conditions, and there must be funding to train people from new work if their job is made obsolete. It is not quite clear what the impact of AI and robotics on jobs is likely to be, but some estimates suggest that up to a third of all jobs could be automated. However, there are likely to be new jobs created as well. And what we do know is that a significant number of current jobs are liable to be lost to digitalization, and that policymakers must plan to mitigate that outcome. For some workers, AI is likely to improve their productivity and push their pay up, but one estimate suggests the 10% boost to GDP thanks to automation. However, workers with low skilled levels could see their jobs change or disappear, and even worse, competition for the few jobs that remain may push wages down even fewer. And then add to that the globalization, and you see how in the future there may be quite a problem. How advocates of universal basic income, ding, have suggested that this should be funded through a tax on robots as the most effective way of assuring that those who own capital do not end up with an ever-increasing share of the financial rewards from growth. We are skeptical that this is the right approach at this time. As we set out above, we need more investment in technology, not less. So don't worry about it, because even though AI can build baby robots that can evolve on its own, and Google DeepMind taught itself to walk, run, and jump without the help of humans, and Putin says that he who rules AI will rule the world. We'll just keep marching down this path and building the big pulsating brain in the sky. All right, goodness, we choose to be.